They always spend more money on Mother's Day in general than Father's Day. And one person wrote that Father's Day is the one time of year when I get complete obedience from every member of my family. I tell them not to spend a lot of money on me, and they don't. Although I will have to say my children got quite a bit for me this morning. It felt like I was having a birthday. So, but then there was a, you know, along the same lines as maybe the opposite. Well, in a story about some of the worst Mother's Day gifts ever given, the Houston Chronicle reported a story about Jerry Maltz giving his wife an iron. He got the message when she gave him an ironing board for Father's Day. So watch out what you give on Mother's Day. But on a little more serious note, the greatest, one person wrote, the greatest gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. And you know how much truth there can be in that statement. A great gift that fathers can show. I'd like us to turn to Isaiah chapter 38 this morning. The men just sang a song about our Heavenly Father watching over us. You think of a father, you think of someone who wants to protect his family. You know, you don't want to get the father of the family, you know, on his bad side. You think of the protection that he offers. Well, we're going to look this morning at something that every father must be extremely careful about in the protection of his home. Something in our day and age in which is really falling by the wayside as we see our world falling into confusion. You know, a day and age in which feeling what you feel about something is more important than what the facts of the situation are. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 19 just really kind of just sums up, in a sense, what the normal duty of a father is. And notice what it says there, Isaiah 38 and verse 19. It says, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Then this one phrase here says, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. And here we see really the duty of every father is to make known truth. God's truth, notice that, make known thy truth to his children. Today we're going to look at three actions that every father needs to follow to impart truth to his children. The first action we're going to look at this morning, and briefly look at, is that a father needs to take responsibility. Father needs to take responsibility for what God has placed upon his shoulders to impart truth to his children. In Ephesians chapter 6, what does it talk about? The father is supposed to train them up in the what? The nurture and admonition of the Lord. And every father that's here this morning needs to take the responsibility upon himself that he has for imparting truth to his children. And as we look at the society in which we live, I think we can see how great an importance it is to take that responsibility seriously. Over in, and right here in this verse, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. Let's go over to Psalm number 78. It doesn't use the word truth in this passage, but it emphasizes, I think, the same principle. Psalm number 78 in verses 3 and 4. Notice what it says here. It says, which we have heard and known and our what? And our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. All right, notice what our fathers have told us. You know, the fathers need to take the responsibility that they have to impart truth to the next generation. What did John say as a spiritual father? He said, I have no greater joy than to hear what? That my children walk in truth. You know, fathers, have you taken upon yourself that responsibility to impart truth to your children? You know, it's not, you know, somebody else out there job. You know, yes, as a father, you can choose people that can help you, that can aid you in that responsibility. But ultimately, the responsibility lies on your shoulders. First of all, the first action is you need to take responsibility to impart truth. But secondly, you need to realize the importance of the imparting of truth. Why is it so important that our children, that the next generation gets this semblance of truth inside of them? Well, let's go to Psalm number 61. Psalm number 40. Psalm number 40 and verse number 11. Notice what it says here. Psalm 40, verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy what? And thy truth continually what? Continually preserve me. The protection upon his life, the psalmist's life, was going to come from what? The truth of God. You know, why is it so important? Because the preservation of your children depends upon truth. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 12 and verse 19 that the lip of truth shall be established. You know, do you want your children to be protected in the day and age in which we live? Well, if you want them, then what do they need in their lives? They need truth. You know, it says, the psalmist said, you know, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Now, we're focusing on truth, but loving kindness is also an important part of that. But notice, thy truth continually preserve me. Why is truth so important? Well, if your young people, if your children do not have truth, they're going to be what? They're going to be destroyed, aren't they? And so truth is extremely important. You must realize the importance of truth. But you must also recognize that the future standing of your children is based upon truth. Go over to Psalm number 96. You know, there's a lot of ideas out there of how you should raise your children, or how you should operate your family, or where you should go to church, or, you know, what kind of this you should buy. But the future standing of your children is not based upon the opinions of men. Psalm 96 and verse 13, it says, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with what? With his truth. Notice that. The future standing of your children. Now, how the world may want to paint a different picture, but you must understand that their standing is based upon God's truth. And in the context of these verses, it's saying, let the field be joyful and all that therein. Let all the trees of the wood rejoice. Ultimately, God's going to come and he's going to judge, and his judgment is going to be based on truth. And it doesn't matter what things look like in the present, because the future standing is not based upon what the world thinks. It's not based upon what, you know, your unsaved relatives think. It's not based upon what the people at your workplace think. It's based upon God's truth. And your children need, you need to understand that importance, that their future standing is based upon the truth of God's word and how our society has completely missed that. And they're just obliterating that. And they're making choices in life that are destroying their children. I mean, how sad I heard of this week of somebody that is liberal, I think out in California, and you know, they wrote something to the effect that they could tell when their child was like one year old or something, that they must be the wrong gender or something. And so at 5 years old or something, they're doing these things to try to undo what God did in their child. And it's like, how sad. And we don't understand that someday, they don't understand that it's God's truth that ultimately decides the future standing of your children. It's not how you feel. It's not how somebody else feels, but it's the truth of the Word of God. In Psalm 100 and verse 5, it says, "The truth of the Lord endureth to what? To all generations." The future stand, why is it so important? Because the future standing of your children is based upon God's truth. It's God's truth that will judge your children. The fashions of man are fleeting. The opinions of men are constantly changing. But God's truth will endure to all generations. Then let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Why must you realize the importance of truth? Not only is it the key to the preservation of your children, not only is it the key to the future standing of your children, but it's also the key to the prospering of your children. Do you want your children to prosper? Do you want them to be blessed? Well, then truth must have an important place. The impartation of truth to your children must be an extremely important place in your home. Notice what it says in Proverbs 3 and verse 3. It says, "Let not mercy and what? And truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Then it says, notice verse 4 there, the blessing there, the prospering. "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The importance of truth. You know, sometimes it might seem like truth isn't going to benefit you. You know, somebody gave a testimony in Sunday school this morning about, you know, someone, talking to a financial advisor, and the financial advisor trying to get them to do some things that maybe would benefit them, but maybe wouldn't be exactly the right thing to do. You know, in the short term, you know, unsaved people think, oh, you know, get what you can get when you can get it. But the truth says what? No, I need to do what's right. And what? God's blessing will come. And you know what? And then that was a good testimony to the banker. "And so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." I just read an article about that one of the Supreme Court justices, Clarence Thomas, and we may not agree with everything, but that he would stand for. But he's probably, in my opinion, one of the best justices on the Supreme Court, and takes a great stand on many issues, in my opinion. But while he may take a stand on truth, the article was pointing out that how one of the liberal justices had great respect for him. And, you know, he's one of the people that walking through the Supreme Court building, and he knows all the staff members by names. He'll, you know, find out, hey, how's, you know, your child doing, or how is this person? He shows genuine care and concern for each individual. And this other Supreme Court justice said when, you know, a relative died, he was the first one that sent flowers, you know, showing the compassion that he had for others. And it's, you know, in this verse, what does it say? It says, "Let not mercy and truth." You know, and so there's truth, but there's also a what? There is a compassion that goes along with that truth. And that article is just showing the great demeanor that Clarence Thomas had and how his actions, although to some, you know, liberals don't like it, may seem tough, but yet this person who had a personal interaction with him, his actions made a great impact upon her life. But the thing we need to see is the prospering of our children. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Truth is vitally important to your children. Then you might ask, well, you know, how am I going to impart this? Well, that's the third action we're going to look at, is fulfilling. You must fulfill the requirements of imparting truth. You must fulfill the requirements of imparting truth. The first requirement I'd like us to see is you must recognize and hold a firm belief in the source of truth. You must recognize the source of truth, and you must also hold a firm belief in that source of truth. Let's go to Psalm 119 and verse 151. It's kind of interesting because, you know, there's a new social media platform out there called Truth Social. And anytime, I guess, you send something out, it's called a truth. You know, I wonder how many untruths are going to be labeled truths, because they're going to let, you know, because it's free speech, they let anybody on there. So you're going to have all these untruths being labeled truths. But we need to realize what is. If you're going to impart truth, you have to have a recognition and a firm belief in the source of truth. Notice what it says in Psalm 119, verses in 151. It says, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy what? And all thy commandments are what? Are truth. John 17:17. When we used to have King's Kids, I think the first verse that young people had to learn was John 17:17. It wasn't a hard verse, but it was an important verse. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy what? Thy word is truth. How important it is to recognize the source of truth, the word of God. And we need to have that, and I would think that most here in this auditorium, if not all, recognize that the word of God is the source of truth. But you can't just recognize it. You have to believe it. You have to live like it. All right, and it's got to be important. I mean, nowadays there's so many things bombarding believers, trying to destroy their faith in the truths of the Word of God. But you must have that firm grounding in the source of truth, the Word of God. But secondly, let's go to Psalm number 85. If we're going to impart truth, we need to seek God for revival. Notice what it says in Psalm 85, verses 10 and 11. It says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Notice again that mercy and truth combination. Verse 11, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. You know, this imparting of truth, what is it a result of? Well, earlier in the chapter, Psalm number 85, early in the chapter, verse 4, turn us, O God of our salvation, cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? It's really a result of God's working, that now truth is springing out. Mercy and truth are met together. You know, and if truth is going to be imparted, you know, if we're going to see a change in the next generation, well, we need to seek God for revival. Because it's not just going to happen. We need God's working. We need God's gracious working in our families to see the truth imparted. So we need to recognize and hold a firm belief in the source of truth. We must seek God for revival. And as we look at where our land is, boy, wouldn't it be a blessing to see truth once again go out? But thirdly, there needs to be a daily walk in truth. A daily walk in truth. In Psalm number 26, if we're going to impart it, notice what the psalmist said. He said in verse number 2, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. For what? For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have what? I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked." But notice that he says in verse number 3, "I have walked in thy truth." You know, are we walking in the truth of God's word? How important it is to have that time in God's word so we can be refreshed in his truth. If we go over to Psalm number 91, Psalm number 91, notice what it says in verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." Notice, "his truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Notice part of the blessing of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High was what? His truth being your shield and buckler. So yes, we need to seek, we need to recognize the source of truth. We need to seek God for revival, for truth. But yet we need to be daily walking in truth and walking with the Lord so that his truth can shield us from the lies and deception that are all around us. You know, young person, do you want your life to be protected? You probably don't even understand. None of us really probably hardly understand the evil of our day in which we live. But you know what? When you take that time and spend it with God, his what? His truth can be a shield, a defense from the enemy. And the weapons and the bullets that are going to be thrown at you to get you to go in a wrong direction. So we have a daily walk in truth. But another requirement for imparting truth, you need to install constant reminders. You know, nowadays people have phones, right? And you don't want to forget something, so you what? You put a reminder on your phone. Now, hopefully your phone doesn't die because then you won't know about the reminder, right? But, you know, reminders. You know, maybe you find yourself writing notes. Maybe you're setting the reminder on your phone. But there's reminders that we need to install for the truth. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these are familiar verses, but it's good for us to review them. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." It says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." And it goes on. But, you know, constant reminders. The truth of God is something our young people need constant reminding about. You know, when they step out into this world, they get constant reminders, don't they? Constant reminders of the evil of our day. You know, there's a constant reminder of all these false philosophies that are out there. Well, they need constant reminders of the truth. And, you know, maybe things that we can do. We already talked about our personal walk with God, but we can have family devotions. We can be in church on a regular basis to get what? Constant reminders. Our speech, what we talk about, can help to be reminders. You know, putting Bible verses on the walls of your home can be constant reminders to the truth. You know, you can talk about the issues of the day and what remind them about the truth of God's word. There needs to be constant reminders. If we go back to Psalm number 78, I know we're turning a lot, but that can help keep you awake. Psalm 78, verses 6 and 7. Why do we need constant reminders? In 6, 7, and 8. That the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. But notice that, and not forget. Why do we need reminders? Because we forget. We constantly need to be reminded. Install constant reminders. But then we also need to provide positive reinforcement. Let's go over to Psalm. We already mentioned this verse, but Psalm 100. What is the whole context of his truth endureth to all generations? All right, verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. So they're praising God for his goodness, aren't they? But they're also praising him for his mercy. And also why? Because his truth endureth to all generations. And you know what? We need to have lips of praise, actions of praise towards God because of his truth. You know, we need to be reminding them of the, in all this confusion, that you know what? God has made us. A good God has made us. And he knows what is best for our lives. And you know, thanking God for his goodness. If we're constantly complaining, if we're constantly, they're not going to what? See the goodness of the Lord. But we need to provide positive reinforcement by offering praise to God and for his truth, that his ways are the best ways. And when they hear that, it can help them to recognize that his truth does endure to all generations. Over in Isaiah chapter 25, in verse number 1, notice again the context of praise. Isaiah 25, verse 1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Notice how he's lifting him up. Thy counsels of old are what? Are faithfulness and truth. Praising him for his truth. Are we providing that positive reinforcement, that praise for who God is, for his truth, and how amazing it is? When in a world that's falling apart, it doesn't have to be falling apart. If they would just follow God's way, things would be put right back together. But we need to be offering the praise that will cement their firm belief in the truth. Not only do we need to provide positive reinforcement, but we also need to remove hindrances to the truth. And we're just going to look maybe at a few hindrances to the truth. Deuteronomy chapter 7. You might say, well, I'm not a father today, so none of this applies to me. Well, there should be something, I think, that should apply to you. So Deuteronomy 7, verses 3 through 4. Notice the hindrance to the truth in the children of Israel. What was going to hinder their young people from going down the right pathway? He says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Notice that. The truth here, one of the hindrances is marrying an ungodly person here. If they went in and their children married the ungodly, what was going to happen? They would be destroyed, wouldn't they? It'd be gone. And then you open up the book of Judges and what happened? They started marrying them. Look at the book of Judges. It's terrible. Some of the things that took place in the book of Judges are grotesque. Why? Because truth, as it says in Isaiah, was fallen. It was gone because they married the heathen. We need to make sure, you know, pray for your children. You know, understand the importance of marrying the right one. Friends, you know, friends can hinder the truth. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil communications, what? Corrupt good manners. The wrong friends are going to tear your children down and lead them away from the truth. How about education? In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2, God instructed the children of Israel to what? Learn not the way of the heathen. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, it talks about beware of philosophies and vain deceit. In Proverbs chapter 4, if we can go there, please. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. You know, the world is after, let me back up just a little bit. You know, you'd hear of people sometimes, maybe they're going to, you know, allow their children to go to the public school while they're younger. But then when they get to maybe 7th, 8th, 9th grade, you know, maybe they're going to, you know, now when they're getting older, now things are really bad in the public school. Now we better maybe put them in a Christian school now or homeschool them or something. You know, and I was just listening. I heard something on the radio this week, and I don't know if it was VCY or if it was somewhere else. Can't remember exactly, but they're talking about how the liberal agenda, how they want to capture young people when they're young because they're the most impressionable. And how important it is to have the truth in young people when they're young. And, you know, what's one way we can remove the hindrances? Well, how are they being educated? It's so important to have your young people educated in a godly atmosphere where they are going to learn the truth. Remember the importance, their future standing, their preservation is based upon what? Truth. You know, why do you think the government wants to provide universal daycare so they can get them when they're even younger? And we need to be aware of these things, that we need to remove the hindrances. We need to see our responsibility to impart truth. I mean, at least that's my opinion. My opinion could be wrong, but now, obviously, anything that's from the Bible is not incorrect, but let's go. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. And then verse 16 is is, boy, it seems so fitting for our day. Avoid it, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they what? They cause some to fall. You know, there is an evil agenda in our day. And it's evil, why? Because they're out there to get people to fall. And we need to recognize that. And that's why we have to remove the hindrances to the truth. Marriage, friends, education, whether it's TV programs, whether it's movies, what kind of hindrances are there to the truth? But then our last requirement of imparting truth I'd like to look at, and I'm sure you could probably come up with more. But I'd like to go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, if we're going to impart the truth, we need to make it important. I know this maybe doubles up a little bit on some of what we already said, but we've got to make the truth important. Proverbs 23, verse 23, it says, buy the truth and what? And sell it not. You know, when you get something that's important to you, it doesn't matter if somebody comes up to you and offers $1 million for it, or 2 million, or 3 million. You can say, I don't care. Keep your money. This is more important to me than money. You know, it says, buy the truth and what? Sell it not. Why? Because it's so important to you. This is something you have to have. It doesn't matter what somebody offers you for it. You're going to keep it. And we have got to, we must understand the importance of truth. We must make it important in our families. We must make it important in our lives. Somehow we need to impart that to our children, that the truth is important. Don't give it up. Don't sell it. Hold on to it. It doesn't matter what somebody offers you. You must keep it. The truth must be important. And you know, there are so many things nowadays that are clouding our world. People getting down to the basics of life that are so crystal clear what a male and what a female is, yet in our society we don't even understand it. Why? Because the truth is going. And fathers haven't made sure that their children understand the truth. And this is just compounding and getting worse. And you look at what's happening in the current generation that's becoming adults and their viewpoints on issues, it's getting bad. And things are compounding as the whole education system has turned, much of it has turned away from truth and turned to the opinions of men. And we need to understand this morning the importance of truth. God places a blessing upon the truth, but places judgment upon sin. And there's a man that wrote an article, and there's a lot in the article I could read, but it really just points out, in a way, the blessings on truth, and in some ways, the confusion that arises because of sin. And I don't know how much of this I'm going to read, but I'll read a little bit. He's actually relating some things from some articles he read, but looking at the data going back 6 years, the downward trend is even more dramatic. The Philly Voice, also informed, among millennials since 2014, there has been a 43% increase in instances of major depression, a 17% increase in substance use disorders, and a 39% increase in those diagnosed with ADHD. Yet another Pew study, from the Pew Research Center, I think, along with an analysis of it, illustrates the ideology, mental illness connection more directly. The finding, more than 50% of young liberal white women have been diagnosed with some form of mental health problem. Now, there's conservative people that have it as well, but there's a higher amount in one class than another. And he writes, my own experiences working with children many years ago bore out this leftism psychological disorder association. The most well-behaved, well-adjusted kids tended, with a few exceptions, to have three things in common. Parents who were conservative politically, stay-at-home moms, and some type of church life. All three realities, of course, correlate with a traditionalist worldview. In keeping with this, none of the ADHD children I encountered were from such a home. Rather, virtually without exception, they had liberal upbringings. In fact, based on the kids' behavior, I could predict how their parents voted and was rarely wrong. There is a deeper connection, too. As family psychologist John Roseman once put it while addressing childhood misbehavior, and then he says, I'm paraphrasing, years ago we viewed kids' bad behavior as a moral problem, but today we view it as a psychological problem, and that's the problem. Modern psychology takes everything we once called a sin and diagnoses it as a disease or condition of the brain. Yeah. You killed your husband? Could have been PMS. Drinking too much, it's a gene. Your kid acting bratty, it's ADHD. Realizing that much of what is now labeled psychological dysfunction is really moral failure clarifies matters. Modern leftism actually is movement toward moral disorder as it characterizes bad as good, virtue as vice. Examples are calling embrace of perversion being yourself, punctuality a white norm, and abortion reproductive choice. So it's no surprise that these consequences of moral dysfunction, rebranded as psychological problems, are more common among leftists. And I'm not here to try to put down certain people. It's the ideas and the philosophies behind them. And what's happening, and what want to see as we move away from truth, what happens? You have problems. You have psychological issues. You have depression. Why? Because truth preserves. Sin destroys. And we must understand that. And the duty of a father, well, we must provide for our household. You know, the Bible says if you don't provide for your household, you're worse than an infidel. And we've got a lot of lazy people in our society. But we have a great responsibility this morning to what? To impart truth. And much of the mess we live in is because truth has been left by the wayside. And instead, the opinions of men have been embraced. You know, fathers, this morning, are you going to once again embrace the truth? I'm sure, you know, you're here today because you want the truth. You know, but sometimes we need a reawakening in our lives of the importance of it. And, you know, maybe there's something lacking that we need to shore up so that we can see that truth imparted to the next generation. You know, so we can say, like the Apostle John, I have no greater joy than to see that my what? Children walk in truth. You know, and will we see them walking in truth? Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would use this to encourage, Lord, each one of us. Lord, to shore up those areas in our lives that we need to so that we can see the next generation, Lord, base their lives upon truth instead of the moral failures that are abounding in our society. Lord, I pray that you would revive our hearts, that truth would once again spring up in the earth. Lord, may you encourage each father especially, each one of us, Lord, but each father especially in this area of truth. Lord, may you work in our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, maybe the Lord's working in your life. You know, maybe there's something in your home, maybe something that needs to be added, maybe something that needs to be subtracted. You know, maybe fathers, maybe it's your own walk with the Lord that needs to be strengthened. But don't let this opportunity pass. You know, many times we sit around, we want to do something about what's happening. Well, one of the places we can do something is within our own home. You know, what are we doing? Is there something that the Lord's working in your life about so that you can be a man that imparts truth to your children? You know, maybe you're a wife today. Maybe you need, you know, maybe sometimes your husband sees something and you don't see it right away and you need to be encouragement to that truth he's trying to build in your family. Maybe you're a young person. You've been resisting maybe what your dad's been trying to impart in your family, the truth that he's trying to give. You need to see the blessing that you have of a father that is trying to impart truth in your family. You need to make sure you have the right attitudes towards it. And, you know, that would be like the best Father's Day gift you could give him. You know, maybe today you're unsaved and you need to make the God of heaven your heavenly Father. You need to be turned from being a child of the devil, having the worst father you could possibly have, to having the greatest father that they sang about today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, each one of us needs your help, Lord, so that we can see this truth imparted. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.